Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, we read, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I. Send me." I want to talk to us today about answering the call of God. Answering the call of God. This is certainly applicable for all of our graduates today as they prayerfully consider the will of God and their future, what God would have them do. But for every one of us, for all of us today, we want to live the life that God has called us to. Amen? And what he's made us for. I want to be what God has called me to do. Answering the call of God. Amen. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts here today. I pray that your word would go forth with anointing and with power. And I pray, Lord, that we receive what you are calling us to. I pray that at the end of the service, Lord, we would come forward and just say, Lord, my life is yours. Whatever you want to do in me, through me, God, I want to be what you've called me to be. I want to answer your call in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. God bless you. Please be seated today. There are moments in life that can change everything. No doubt some of us can look back at certain occasions like that in our past when that moment totally shifted our life. And from that moment on, things were completely different. Maybe it was a phone call or a text. Maybe it was a doctor's report. It could have been a job offer. Maybe it was good news or maybe it was bad news, but that call changed everything. And from that point in time, everything was different. Please hear me today. With all the calls that we may get in our lifetime, there is no call more important than the call of God. There's nothing more vital for us to receive than that call that comes from another world, a divine call, a heavenly call, the call of Almighty God. The problem with our generation is not that God has stopped calling. It's not that God no longer reaches for people. It's not that he doesn't call us to go higher or lead us to a greater purpose and opening doors for us. No, God still calls. But the tragedy of this hour is that many haven't answered. Why would anyone not answer the call of God in their life? Maybe Maybe things are just too noisy in their world, and they simply miss God's call because there's too much noise. There's too many other things going on. Maybe they're not answering God's call on purpose, because if they pick up that phone, they know it's going to cost them something. They know it's going to require a change in their life, something that will disturb their comfort and it will stretch them. It will make their flesh uncomfortable, so they don't answer the call. Maybe for some, they were excited to get the call, but when they heard what God was telling them, it really didn't appeal to what their idea of serving in the kingdom of God was all about. And you see, they were looking for a position. They were wanting their name to be in lights somewhere. And yes, they wanted to do a work for God, but they just wanted everybody to know that they're doing a work for God. But maybe what God has called us for is to be a servant, to be a help in the kingdom of God. And since that didn't fit what we wanted, we didn't answer. I want to tell you, there's no call more important to us than the call of God, whatever it is, however he wants to do us, to use us, wherever he leads in life. In the Bible, Samuel was just a child, but he answered the call of God. When we read that story, we find out that the word of the Lord, it was rare in those days. The Bible says that those prophetic visions were quite uncommon. And Eli, the priest, his eyesight had begun to grow dim. What was happening in the natural was kind of mirrored in the spiritual. His eyesight was growing dim, but there was also something going on in the spiritual there. And reading 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3, "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down, and the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Verse 7, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child." Finally, Eli catches on that this is God calling. He tells him to go back again, and if the voice comes again, say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Reading on in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11, "And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." God was waiting on Samuel to answer his call. And who is it today in this place that God has been calling you? God has been speaking to your life. Who is it today that it's time for you to answer that almighty call? Revelation chapter 13, verse 9, it challenges us today. If any man have an ear, let him hear. If anyone has an ear, let them hear. What do you mean, Pastor? We've all got ears. No, it's more than that. If anybody has a sensitivity to the Spirit of God, if anybody can listen past the noise and past the distractions going on around them, if anybody has an ear after spiritual things, let them hear. Come on, we've got to answer the call of God today. It's not enough to just hear that phone ringing. We've got to pick it up and say, "Lord, what's your will for my life? What is it that you want me to do? God, I'm willing to do whatever your hand wants to direct my life to do." Answering the call of God. I'm sure sometimes people think, well, when the call of God comes in my life, that's going to answer everything. I want to tell you what, when the call of God came in my life, I feel like it probably opened a whole lot more questions I hadn't thought about before. No, when God calls me, it's going to tell me everything I'm supposed to do. It's going to lay out every step. It's going to answer all my questions about the meaning of life. And there won't be any more trouble. I won't have any struggles because I'm called of God. Somebody show me to my place of leadership because I've arrived, you know. Take me to my pulpit. Point to where I can just, you know, step into my new position because God has called. I can remember it was a camp meeting service in the Wisconsin district. I was about maybe 10 or 11 years old. And the theme for that service that day was home missions. They were making a call for people that would be willing to go start churches in areas of Wisconsin where there was no church. And they were presenting that need, and they were doing a good job of it. And that call was going forth, and they were asking for people, if you're willing, come to the front. And so I don't know what my preteen self understood exactly what they were asking for, but I knew something in my spirit said, here am I, send me. And so as a 10 or 11-year-old, I came down. I think I was the youngest person in the altar there that day, but I heard a call from God, and I wanted to answer it. Does that mean that I left elementary school the next year and said, you know what, I'm just going to step into full-time ministry? Did that mean that I got somewhere to preach that weekend? No. It was years until I actually preached after that. And were there any growing revival churches out there without a pastor that wanted me to come and step in as a 10 or 11-year-old wonder preacher? You know, no. I'd been raised in a pastor's home, but I had no clue about what the call of God on my life meant. But answering that call that day as a 10 or 11-year-old, it began a journey. It began a journey, and I still don't know where all this journey will lead, but I know this today. I don't want to ever miss that call upon my life. I don't want to ever neglect the call of God. I don't want to ever abandon that call today. Somebody needs to hear this, pastor, today. There's a call of God for you. There's a will of God for you. There's a purpose that God has for your life, and somebody needs to say, here am I. Send me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We read in our text today, Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. This was an awesome encounter. Isaiah saw the Lord face to face, and that experience, it changed him forever. There was a revelation of God that he had never seen before. Isaiah didn't just hear about God. He didn't just read some books by somebody that had heard some things about the Lord. No, he didn't try to just copy somebody about the things of God. No, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, filling the temple, the angels crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his glory. Can you imagine? And the doorpost shook. Man, they were having church. The house filled with smoke. And this was not a casual encounter. It was a divine experience. And without a revelation of God, it is hard for us today to truly answer the call of God in our life. If we've never established a habit of spending time in his presence, if prayer is just an afterthought, come on, if the only time we really need to, we talk to God is when we need something, we're not really able to understand the call of God. But there's something about a real prayer life where we make time every day to talk with the Lord, and it lets us see him. It lets us see his holiness. He's high and lifted up. He's awesome. He fills the temple. The doorposts shake. The house is filled with smoke. Church, when we don't pray, except maybe a little bit when we just come to church, but there's no lifestyle of prayer throughout the week, we don't have that revelation of God. We're preoccupied with things in the natural. We're led by our flesh. Our thinking is according to earthly wisdom. We're not walking in the Spirit. But when there's a regular practice of prayer where we meet God face to face every single day in our life, we start to get a revelation of who He is, because He reveals Himself to us. I want to say to this church, I'm thankful for all the ministries and events and things that this church does, and all of that has its place, but we can have all the right programs and still miss the call of God. Come on, just because our calendar is full, it doesn't mean that we're busy with the things that are revealing God's presence to us. Somebody needs to declare today, Lord, show me your glory. Show me your presence, God. I want to experience your power. I want to know you for real today. Hallelujah. When we get a fresh revelation of who He is, it gets our attention. It changes us. It calls us deeper. It'll make us desire to do whatever He wants us to do. When Isaiah saw the Lord, when he saw God clearly, there was an awe to the presence of God that captured his attention. He had a revelation of God's holiness. Sometimes when we hear the word holiness, we automatically go to, well, it's things we do that, you know, separate ourselves from the world. And that's getting the cart before the horse. When we start out with things that we do or we don't do, we're missing the whole point. Those things should be birthed out of a relationship with God, where we see Him for who He is. He's a holy God who's high and lifted up. And because we reverence Him, because we're in awe of Him, that affects everything about how we live. That the things that we do and what we say and what we don't say and the places we go and the places we don't go and all of that. He is a holy God, and I don't want to be unholy in His presence. So that affects how I live. How many people in our world today have never seen God's holiness? They've simply reduced God down to something they do. It's an obligation, and so they go to church maybe for an hour or two a week, but they've never really seen the Lord. They've never truly entered into His presence. To have that experience like Isaiah had, where they see Him high and lifted up, those angels declaring, holy, holy, holy. And in that experience, so awesome, we want to leave everything else behind. If we can just have a little more of this Jesus. If I can have a little more of His anointing. If I can have a little more of His love, if I can just have a little more of His power in my life and in my family, oh, come on, I'll give up everything if I can just see Jesus. Isaiah's encounter with the Lord, it brought him past just the idea of God to where he experienced Him face to face. And that's what we've got to do if we're going to have truly going to answer the call of God. Ask some people about a call of God in their life, and their thinking is something like this. Yeah, you know, it's about time that God give me the chance I deserve to show off my talent. The church is really lacking, you know, without my expertise. And move over, I'm about to step into my place. They didn't answer the call of God. Look what happened to Isaiah. He had a realization that broke him. If we've never truly been broken before the presence of God at an altar where we say, God, I'm so unworthy and I need you. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Woe is me. Amen. Answering the call of God doesn't begin with us pointing fingers at everybody else. No, it starts with us falling on our face. Come on. It starts with us humbling ourselves before God. If we haven't truly been humbled, either by humbling ourselves or by God letting us be humbled, then we really can't answer God's call yet. But when we seek God, when we truly see Him through a lifestyle of prayer and seeking His presence, that's when we truly see ourselves and how far we have to go to be like Jesus. I know this world excuses sin, and there's some churches that they don't want to deal with sin, but I tell you, they haven't answered the call. They haven't answered the call. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. What was it about the lips? God was about to use his lips. God was about to use his voice, and God was saying, I've got to get some things right. There's some people here today, God wants to use your life. God wants to bless you. God wants to let his spirit flow through you, but there may be some parts of us that God can't use until we let them be broken before him. But when we step back and say, God, my hands are off it, I trust you, let your will be done, that's when God says, I'm going to make you better. I'm going to do a work in you. Oh, nobody's going to believe it. It's going to be a great thing, but it's going to be my work. It's going to be my plan, and it's going to be my glory. It's not going to lift you up. It's going to lift up me. It's going to bring me praise. It's going to bring me worship. Hallelujah. What about those old-time prayer meetings? Those old-time prayer meetings where people would pray for hours and hours, and they would pray to a place where it was like they just passed out on the floor because they were totally surrendered to whatever God wanted to do in their life. We need some of that old-time religion. Come on, we need some of that old-time religion. Ask yourself today, how long has it been since I truly wept before the Lord? Since I truly wept. I'm talking about where your eyes are puffy and your face is red and your nose won't stop running. And if it's been too long, then we need to see the Lord high and lifted up. God's preparing us for some places. He's about to take us. I believe this church is about to see great miracles. Come on, I believe that this house can't hold everything that God is about to do, but God's got to get us ready. God's got to prepare our hearts. God's looking for somebody to answer the call. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, Joshua told the people before they crossed over Jordan, Joshua 3:5, he said, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. God will take us low before he takes us high. We have to allow everything to be broken before him if we want him to make something great of our life. There's got to be a complete surrender where we sanctify ourselves. Lord, I know you want to do wonders, but I've got to get ready. I feel like we're at the door of something great. I feel that today. But in order for us to step through that door, we've got to sanctify ourselves. I challenge you to pray today. Pray this week, Lord, is there anything about my life that would keep me from answering your call? Because whatever it is, Lord, I want to make that right. Hallelujah. God gave Isaiah a new perspective. Verse 6 and 7 says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. God changed him. It was God that changed him. We like to think, well, I've got to fix things myself. I've got to get things right, and then I'll answer the call of God. I tell you, we'll never be able to fix it all. You can't do it. You just don't have the strength. You don't have the power. But let me tell you about a God that can do anything. He can deliver from drugs. He can deliver from alcohol. He can deliver from pornography. Come on, I serve a God today that has all power. And if you would bring your life, your brokenness, your hurt, your pain, your struggles, and say, Lord, here it is. Would you make something of me? Would you do something with me? God will touch us. Hallelujah. Maybe there's somebody here today and you're hearing that voice of the enemy telling you that God can't use you, telling you you've messed up too much. Oh, come on, you're not worthy. There's others who would be much better than you. I tell you, the enemy is so good at disqualifying us before God is even started working. God is not asking us to be worthy. He will never truly be worthy. He's saying, would you be willing? Would you be willing? Somebody today, I don't know what God, that the heights that God is going to take you to. I'll tell you, we'll never be worthy enough, but will we be willing? I'm willing, Lord. Here am I. Send me, Lord. Work through me. Move through me. That was Isaiah's response, verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. Isaiah answered the call. Notice, God didn't say, hey, is there somebody that's talented? Is there somebody that's got all the answers? Is there somebody that has the most experience? Who's got it all together? No, he just said, who will go? Who will go? The call of God today, it may not be that you're supposed to be going to be a missionary somewhere half around the world. The call of God is, it's actually most likely right where we are today. To be a light on our job, a light in our school, a light in our neighborhood. We get caught up in God, well, maybe there's some distant land that I'm supposed to go serve him, but then we miss the call of God right where we're at. Who will go? Who will go? Do you hear that call today? Right now, in this moment, in this service, I believe there's a call of God going forth. Who will go? Who will be a witness for me? Who will spread the hope of my blood that has been shed for them? Who will answer the call for your future, for your family, for this church? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. He didn't ask, where am I going to go, and how hard is it going to be, and what's it going to cost me? No, those questions weren't on his mind. It didn't even matter. Lord, after I've seen you and you're high and lifted up, I don't care, Lord. Here am I. Send me. Amen. I'm preaching to somebody today that the enemy has tried every way he can to get you to hold back from the call of God. Well, I'm not able, and I don't have all the talent, and I've messed up too much, and I've had too many problems. I'm telling you, God doesn't care about all of that. If you'll just give it to him, he's going to use your life. He's going to bless you. He is going to open a great door. God is not limited by our lack of ability. He's limited of if we're available or not. Would you stand with me in closing today? Matthew 22, verse 14, it says, for many are called, but few are chosen. For many are called, but few are chosen. In our English, we don't really get the full meaning of that. Because I want to be called, but I want to be chosen too, you know. The call goes forth, that's God. But those that are chosen, that's really up to us. Do we make ourselves available? The greatest tragedy is not that God doesn't call. It's that people don't answer. If a building was on fire, and somebody yelled out, help! Is anybody willing to help? We wouldn't sit there and just debate. Well, let me pray about it for a few weeks. Let me check my schedule. Oh, you know, that's not really my calling. I never forget, I needed help with something. My wife and I were working on a project. She goes to this individual and says, hey, can you help with this? And they said, well, that's not really in my job description. But if a building was on fire and somebody was calling for help, we wouldn't say, well, let me just kind of analyze this for a little while and I'll get back to you. No. we would respond immediately. But here's the thing today. This world is burning. There are people who are, they are lost. When I say lost, they don't even know where they're at. Families are broken and lives are empty. And there's people today that they wake up and they are controlled by addictions. People controlled by anger. Lives are empty, and God is saying, who will go? It may look as simple as you getting an invitation card and saying, hey, I'm glad to meet you, and I'd love you to come to church with me. I was talking to our leadership team. This is not an announcement. I was talking to our leadership team last night, and I'm starting to do this, and I want to challenge you to do it. Get some church cards. And every person you meet throughout the week, every new person you meet, here's what you say. You say, hey, I've made a commitment that every new person I meet each week, I give them a card and invite them to our church. Could I give this to you? You know, and they'll be like, oh, yeah. You know, they want to help you out with your commitment, you know. Take advantage of that. You'll be surprised how many people are like, you know what? I've been praying that God will show me a church to go to. We've been looking for a church, or we just moved to this area and we haven't found a church yet. Let God use you. That the call of God may be as simple as that, just to hand out church cards all week long. I believe some of you haven't handed out one, but if you'll use that technique, you'll hand out 15 this week. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, all throughout the week, there's projects, there's things going on around this church that we need help. We need workers. We need people that God has given you talent and ability. We need it in the kingdom of God. God's calling people to finally surrender their life to Him. Some of you today, I'm just going to tell you straight up, you need to stop running. You need to stop running. I could call some of you out right now. I could. I'm not going to. But some of you need to stop running. God is reaching for you. God's saying, I've got a work for you to do, and you're finding everything else to do so you don't have to answer, because you're afraid of what it's going to cost you. You're afraid if you have the ability. Maybe you're not going to measure up. Let the Lord measure you. Let the Lord qualify you. Hallelujah. Some of you, you're being called to serve. You're called to be a help. You're called to a ministry. Stop running. Finally surrender to the call of God in your life. Amen. I want to talk to these high school graduates just in closing right now. We celebrate something that you've completed, but really, you're just getting started. You're just getting started. And where you go from this point, how high you go or how low you go, I believe it really matters how much you let God direct your steps and order your life. But if you'll make a commitment to the Lord, God, I'm going to pray and I'm going to seek you. I'm going to read my Bible, study my Bible. I'm going to let you direct my life. When I'm considering what job or career path to take, Lord, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to ask you to open the right doors, to close the wrong ones. I believe God will start ordering your steps. And you may not realize it right now, but you'll look back maybe years later and you'll be like, wow, that was God that opened that door. That was God that led me in that direction. That was the hand of the Lord upon my life. Amen. Answering the call of God. Is there an adult here today that maybe you've been running from the call of God? You know that God has called you. You know that you have a purpose. You know you're supposed to be doing more than what you're doing today. Would you answer the call? Is there somebody here today you'd say, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Praise the Lord. These altars are open today. I wonder if somebody would just come forward and say, I'm going to answer the call of God. Whatever it is in my life, however God wants to use me, however God wants to work, my life is not my own, Lord, but I want to live for you. I want to serve you, Jesus. I want to be pleasing to you here today. Would you let God direct you? Come on, somebody say, here am I, send me.